When the state legislature returns in January, Republicans will hold a 19-14 edge over Democrats in the state Senate. We will talk with the new assistant majority leader in the state Senate about his legislative priorities, and we will welcome your questions and your priorities, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next guest is Paul Farrow, Republican State Senator from Pewaukee and the new Assistant Majority Leader. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. I hope you had a very nice Thanksgiving and holiday weekend.
Yes, I'm getting over the turkey overload.
Yes,
so
me too.
Looking forward to getting back to regular food.
So, well, also, I guess congratulations are in order for your new position. You are in this new role. You were elected to this new role in part because Senator Glenn Grothman is no longer going to be in the state Senate. He's now Congressman-elect Glenn Grothman.
Correct. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We've got a new Senate Republican caucus. We're looking at 19 members that we've got. It'll be 18 until Glenn's seat is filled. But we've got some new young faces in there, and we're looking forward to getting some things done this session.
Oh, thanks for that correction. That's right. So there needs to be a special election for Senator Grothman's seat.
Right. There'll be a special election. It looks like it's going to follow within the spring election cycle that will fill his seat.
Mm-hmm. So what is the most important thing that you would like to see the state Senate pass in this upcoming session?
Well, I think right out of the chute, I think the most important thing that we've got going is going to be the budget. We have, every 2 years, we have by Constitution to create the budget and pass one, and I know that's one the governor is working on right now, and there's been a lot of discussion about it. We're looking forward to getting to the meat of the budget probably in February and working that through and seeing if we can get it done on a good timely basis by June.
Yeah, and is that going to be an especially tough one or not? We hear about the state agencies requesting a lot more money than the state is taking in. And what, a $2 billion projected shortfall?
Yeah, if you look at all of the agencies, what they're asking for right now, we're looking at about a $2.2 billion deficit. As we know, typically the agencies don't get everything that they're looking for. And I think that's one of the things that we're going to have to balance out. When you look at our budget, the three primary areas that our expenses are Medicaid, school funding, and transportation. And they're about in that order now. Medicaid is starting to top education when it comes to the percentage of the whole budget. A lot of that is fixed issues. And those are things that we've got to work within. And they've asked for a considerable amount of money increases in each of those areas. And that's something we're going to have to deal with. As you said, the revenues that we have, the revenue projections weren't looking as good as they should, and we've got to find new ways to generate more revenue without taxing the people that are over here. We've got to find new vehicles to get business in. And I think that's one of the big keys that we're looking at from the Republic side is more growth in our industries, more growth in businesses coming into Wisconsin, establishing here.
Mm-hmm. Well, so who's likely to get a little bit closer to what they want and who's not?
That is going to be some discussions that will be occurring in joint finance. And the big thing that I look at is transportation is an area that we've got to continue to focus on. You know, there is the infrastructure that we have to get our goods and services across the state, something we have to work on and go towards. $713 million, excuse me. I don't think they're going to get all of it. And I think the other thing we have to look at is not bonding for more projects. The structural deficit, I know, is a concern that we had in this last cycle, and it's something that we want to make sure that we maintain a good control over our funds. When it comes to education, the DPI has put out a $600 million budget, the majority of which is the fair funding formula that Superintendent Evers has tried to push three times now. I agree with the superintendent that the funding vehicle has to be evaluated. I don't agree with the process that he is looking at, but I think it's something that a discussion we have to have. When you look at the funding in education, the formula that we currently use started in 93, and it hasn't been really reevaluated since. We've added to it, but we haven't taken into consideration the newer areas of the voucher program, the charter programs, open enrollment systems. And we need to really look at that and have a good task force on how can we get our effective use of dollars in education. And then the Medicaid is another one that, you know, we continue to look at. I don't think we're going to have the funding for it that we should. And it's one that there are still more and more mandates that we're getting from the federal government on what we can and cannot do that we're going to have to keep in check.
Yeah, we have just a couple of minutes before a short news break. Governor Walker said he wants a budget passed quickly as possible. How fast are you willing to move on this?
Well, I've been amazed. As you know, in the past, we've had budgets that have gone into August and October. Mm-hmm. The last two budgets that I've been part of, we've gotten them done in June. If this is a process where there's a lot of interaction at the beginning, that the legislature has input with the governor, he's putting the budget together, so there aren't as many issues that we have to work through, I think it's something that can feasibly be done by May or possibly early June again.
We are talking with Paul Farrow. He is a Republican state senator from Pewaukee, and he is the new assistant majority leader in the state Senate. And we will talk with him about some other issues that are going to be before the state legislature and other issues that are a part of the Republican legislative agenda. And we are welcoming any questions you might have at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. When we come back after the news, we'll talk about some issues we've heard about being a part of the agenda, like changes to the Government Accountability Board. Is that in order? How about tax cuts? Do you think the state legislature should cut taxes, even with this deficit, projected deficit coming up? And what about this story we just heard in state news a little bit ago, a Republican lawmaker who is introducing a bill that would require Supreme Court justices to retire at age 75. We'll get our guest's take on that, too. First, let's check the latest news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Paul Farrow, who is a Republican state senator from Pewaukee and the new assistant majority leader in the state Senate. We are talking about his party's agenda and welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, as we mentioned when we started, Republicans will have control of the state Senate, 18 to 14 now, but eventually 19 to 14 over Democrats in the state Senate. How aggressive of an agenda will you pursue given the increased power in the state Senate, Senator Farrell?
I think there's a number of issues that we want to get done. Education is one of the key areas, talking with the governor's team. The accountability bill that we got a portion of done last session, we want to clean up and finish this session. I think that'll be one of the first things that you see come out in January is the accountability bill, looking at remodeling the report card, creating, if the bill goes the way we're looking at it, creating an accountability council that would help to develop corrections for failing schools and possibly rewards for successful schools and how we can best emulate those practices across the system. That's one of the key areas that we're looking at. Some of the other issues that have come up in talking with legislators and the fellow senators is reform to the Government Accountability Board. There's been some concerns that they've shaved away from where they should be focusing when those two entities were merged. From the State Elections Board and the Ethics Board. we've hit some areas that they're not as effective as we think they were in the past, and it's something that we want to look at and review. There's other issues that individuals are coming up with that we're looking at, and we're starting to put our agenda together this month.
Yeah. Well, back to the proposed changes to the Government Accountability Board. I know that Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald and new President Mary Lassit are talking about some serious changes there, including reshaping the board with partisan appointees. Is that an idea you can get behind?
Oh, it is something that we've had. And, you know, when you look at the elections board that was in place up until I think it was about 2005, that's what we had. And it seemed to be effective when you had issues. You had a good group of people that were on there that were working through their system. My concern would be that if we're going to have an elections board, we need to have individuals that understand the election process that are there on the governing board. Panel of judges that we have right now, very few of them actually have ever worked in the elections process. I would rather see clerks or individuals like that that are involved and understand the wherewithal, the laws, the elections, that they've dealt with it on a daily basis, have more input in what's going on.
Uh-oh, maybe we lost our guest.
Oh, are you there?
Oh, there we go. Okay, it was just a little drop out there.
That.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, let's move. We actually have some other callers and other issues to get to. So let's go to Robert in Platteville. Hello, Robert.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
Good. What's your question or thought here?
Yes, for your guest. Shortly after the election, Representative Voss made some comments about the UW, in particular, making certain that the UW is focused on teaching and not on research that examines the ancient mating habits of whatever. Given the size of the UW system, what is your guest's views on the system? Where does that fit in our state and its economy and future growth?
Mm-hmm. Senator Farrell?
Well, I think the UW system is an integral part of our growth and our economic development. You know, with the research organization, with WARF, they've done a lot of very effective work. In fact, we had a piece of legislation last cycle, Representative Kuglich and myself authored, that are allowing for more research. It's something that we have to look at, but the key is we've got to look at how are we educating our students in fields that are going to be around. I know there are some concerns that there are some degree fields that are out there that don't have the high needs that we're looking for, and we've got to look at ways of helping get kids to understand these are the areas that are going to be revenue streams for them. They're going to have jobs, they're going to have the capability down the road that we've got to work on. But I think the UW system is one that will always be an integral part of what we look at for our economic growth. We did have some issues that they had some extra monies that were lying around that weren't accounted for. I think that the new president, President Cross, has come in and has been much more transparent and has been able to show where these monies are being utilized, what's going on with them. In working with him on a number of other issues, there's been very good dialogue. And I think you look at it, when we look at the budgets that came in, the UW system is only asking for an additional $95 million compared to the other ones. So now they look like they're in great shape compared to other departments.
Yeah, so the UW is not likely to get its request for more state funding?
I don't know if they'll get all $95 million, but I think it's, you know, as we go through the process, we've got to figure out where we're going to be putting the money. I guess the best way I describe it to people, instead of looking at the state government as a business, we've got to look at it as a not-for-profit corporation. When you look at a lot of charities, they're based on how much cents on the dollar go to the cause. If we started looking at how each dollar is affected in each department, and at the end result, like the UW system, how much money is actually affecting the kids' educations, and K-12 the same way, I think that puts a different perspective on how we're spending the money and where we're appropriating those funds.
Mm-hmm. What are the what's the likelihood of another income tax cut or some sort of tax cut for this next budget?
Well, I would love to see us be able to cut, especially the property taxes. In order to do that, we have to look at, one, the revenue streams and see if we've got the proper revenue streams to do it. And I think that's one of the things that we've got to keep in mind, is we have to keep a balance between our revenues coming in and our expenses. If we have the wherewithal, if we're able to reduce our expenses so that we can reduce the property taxes, I think that's the best route to go. We did an income tax decrease in this last cycle. The withholding taxes we decreased. So I would probably be looking at property taxes, but we've got to see how things work through as we're doing the budget.
We are talking with State Senator Paul Farrow. He is a Republican from Pewaukee. He is also the new Assistant Majority Leader in the State Senate. We have a few more minutes with him if you have a question about what the state legislature is likely to be taking up in this next session, or if you want to suggest something, you want to see it take up. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Judy in Sauk City is with us next. Hello, Judy.
Hello, I have a question for your guest. Mr. Voss and Mr. Walker have both said what the Republicans are going to do. My question is, are you going to listen to anything that the Democrats have to say? Because the Republicans, to me, and I have voted both ways in my life. I am not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. But I'm feeling like they're the playground bully. We are bigger. We are tougher than you. And we don't have to listen to you. I'm beginning to feel like they don't believe we have a two-party state anymore. And I'm getting very, very discouraged. I'm 75 years old, and I've never seen anything like this in the history of Wisconsin. Thank you.
All right. Well, Judy, is there some area that you would like the Republicans to work more with the Democrats that we can maybe focus in on?
Well, education is one place, but that's obviously out of the question. I don't believe in tax cuts because the little tax cut they gave me didn't do anything for me. It did nothing. I worked full time, and the little bit it helped, you know, it didn't do anything for me. So those two places, I just don't agree with them.
Yeah.
But so like I said.
And Senator Farrow, are you going to listen to Democrats on anything?
Yeah. And Judy, thanks for the question. I guess I'm going to go back to my personal history in the Senate the last 2 years. The new minority leader, Senator Schilling, and I were on the same committees. And there were a number of instances that we worked together to make legislation more effective. In my committee, I want to say that the majority of the bills that we came out of committee came out with bipartisan support. In fact, some of the more tougher ones, we had a phosphorus bill that came out that they offered some very good amendments on. We took those amendments and we worked on it. The one thing you got to keep in mind is typically this last session, over 95% of the bills had bipartisan support. There are things that we disagree with on how we want to get there. But I think we've got a group of individuals that we can work with across the aisle and will work with across the aisle to get things done.
You know, I did want to get a quick take from you on a bill that was introduced by a state representative that would mandate a 75-year-old retirement age for Supreme Court justices. And this would essentially force the retirement of state Supreme Court Chief Justice Shirley Abrahamson. Should we have a mandatory retirement age for Supreme Court justices?
I have not seen the bill, so I can't say if it's at 75 they have to step away or they can't run for re-election after the age of 75. You know, there's a number of different things that you can look at. It is one thing to keep in mind that we have to consider age at times. When you look at the U.S. courts, the federal judges have lifetime appointments. We are seeing individuals that are well into their 80s that are still adjudicating from the bench, and there are concerns that you have. It is a bill that I think is something that should be considered, we should talk about, but I'd have to see what the actual language is on the bill before I could agree that this is the best way for us to go.
Yeah, we have just a minute to go. I wanted to ask you, with Governor Walker considering making a run for president in 2016, how concerned you are that his mind might be on the White House instead of the State House.
I've talked with the governor's staff, and we have our, in about 2 weeks, we have our meetings that we have with the governor. Everything that I'm seeing right now, his focus is on the state. His focus is on getting the budget and doing his due diligence with the budget for the first session, the first time we come out in the session. That is going to be a key. Talking with his team on the education accountability pieces, he is focused on making sure that we have a strong educational system in Wisconsin. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot that he's not focused on Wisconsin right now. Yeah, I know he has aspirations and is looking at the possible presidency, but everything that I'm hearing and talking with his team and with him...
Sounds good. Here. I mean, we are out of time. Thank you very much for being with us. This is the State Capitol Report.